the radical left, the Marxists, the anarchists, the agitators, the looters, and people who, in many instances, have absolutely no clue what they are doing.
Welcome to What Radicalized You, a podcast of stories and experiences that have shaped people's ideas about our world and the way society should function.
My name is Yasmin, and I'm a Palestinian organizer in the DMV area. In 1967, my family was displaced from Jenin in the West Bank and had to walk on foot for over 1 month to Kuwait. My father is actually only a few months old at the time, and my family thought that he wasn't going to make it there alive because of how taxing the journey was. But I'm very glad that he did, because now I'm here carrying on my family's and all Palestinian families' struggle for liberation and return. For what radicalized me, I hate for my answer to be stereotypical or boring, but I feel like as a Palestinian, I've always been radicalized in a sense. Growing up, most Palestinians are taught about our history and our struggle by our elders. And by the time that we're in first grade, we have a better understanding of settler colonialism than our teachers, which is definitely not normal. But that's how these ideas that are often viewed as radical by other people are more normal to us, because we grow up hearing them and they make sense. And I feel like the concept of settler colonialism and like the moral rights of indigenous people seems obvious and simple in itself to me, because the truth is easy to understand. And even though like we learn about these topics so young, we can identify, oh yeah, people came and stole our land and hurt us because they want to live there without us, and they steal our food and they steal our culture, and we're only living in America as a direct result of this. Oh, okay, yeah, I think Palestinians have a very clear right to fight back. So not only do we have this conceptual understanding, but on top of this, we see at way too young of an age graphic, horrific acts committed against our people. I remember seeing a video of a little boy, probably the same age as me, being run over by a Zionist tank or armored vehicle or something. I mean, like, this is genuinely not normal for children to be watching content like this, and it is more than abnormal for children to be living this. It's sick and demonic. So that being said, I definitely know that while I grew up with these radical views, I definitely know that I've grown a lot over the years and have been politicized in ways that a six-year-old can't be, obviously. I feel like one thing I really noticed was in the Arab and Muslim and even Palestinian communities sometimes, there's an assumption that because we're born into this identity and we grow up hearing about Palestine when most people don't, we don't need to pick up a book and read, when this could not be further from the truth. We are the bearers of our struggle, so we should know the ins and outs and our history and study revolutions of the past struggles, so that we can combine all this knowledge and build revolution now, because it's necessary. And like, I'm not saying you have to read Marx and Lenin and memorize the Communist Manifesto, but I'm saying like we need to make an effort to reach the level of understanding necessary to be at the forefront of our movement and speak on behalf of our movement correctly. So anyways, all that being said, while being born Palestinian does typically automatically instill these kind of radical views in you, it doesn't mean that you are exempt from learning more. Because I promise there is always a lot more to learn. So I don't remember too much about my radicalization process, especially because I feel like it all happened very naturally. I think a lot of it was acquisition rather than intentional learning. And one moment I do remember was one election year, I was talking to my brother-in-law a very conscious, very knowledgeable guy. Love him. And I was asking him who he was going to vote for. This is when I learned about the lesser evil concept and how electoral politics will never save us. He basically explained how continuing to vote in the lesser of two evils is not what's going to bring us change or liberation, right? It's because it's all one empire, because Democrats are Republicans with a BLM pin on their suits. The two parties, like, they share the same values, the same goals, the same bombs. There's no material difference. And I think the next day I got into a conversation with my mom about the election and basically used the same exact talking points my brother-in-law did the day before. And I was very passionate. Like, you wouldn't believe that I just found out about this like yesterday. I also think part of my radicalization process was understanding why I hated America so much. I used to be a little kid saying, I hate America. And people would be like, oh, don't say that. That's a generalization. You know, we definitely have problems here and the system is flawed, but you should be grateful. And I'm glad that I had that gut feeling of something's definitely extremely wrong here, because I can gladly say that I was never a patriot, but also because now I understand why I felt that way and why I felt so strongly. And I understand now that these issues we have with the system are not flaws, but they're actually just the system functioning exactly how it was built to. When I think of radical views, I usually automatically think of resistance. That's where my mind goes, especially because I see the strong fear-mongering and propaganda that surrounds supporting resistance. I think that it's a lot easier of a pill to swallow if you think that Palestine is a humanitarian issue and you can band-aid it with a ceasefire and humanitarian aid trucks. It's a lot easier to believe that our movement is a civil rights or equal rights movement, because the reality is so much more devastating than that and requires a lot more commitment from people than what they're contributing now, or maybe what they're willing to contribute. Radicalism requires you to be honest with yourself about what kind of state you live in and how much of your life is a lie. And I had to do that. And once you do that, it kind of becomes this dystopic reality. So it's not easy, because once you know how messed up everything is, you can't unknow. And that's scary for people. I mean, how easy would it be to just say, it's all love. We can't be divided. We need to work together, which I hear all the time. And I wish it was as simple as that, but it's not. One of the craziest things actually that I've heard is the Israeli and Palestinian proletariat need to come together. Like, pardon, like, you are missing the entire plot, like the entire context and history and continuation of settler colonialism and how the Zionist state even came to exist is missing for you. Proletariat or bourgeoisie, all Israelis are settlers on stolen land, period. Also, can we just talk about how settlers will literally do anything but leave? Why am I seeing settlers lock themselves in literal cages, blocking roads, getting arrested for refusal to serve in the military? Babes, leave. You're not a leftist. There's no Israeli left. And don't get me wrong, this fracture and division in Zionist society is great. It's great. But we never asked for support from liberal Zionists. We don't need support from liberal Zionists. We have always had the goal of the full liberation of Palestine from the river to the sea. We don't need ceasefire activists. We don't need advocates who are just gonna post on their Instagram stories. We need freedom fighters who are willing to make sacrifices for our struggle. We need people that are willing to detach from their superficial lives right now, because we have already reached the point of no return. What is the point of being silent about Palestine to keep your job if you're going to keep that job in a world where Palestinians aren't free or where Palestinians don't exist. But this brings me to the strength of our resistance, because I believe Palestinians are so stubborn that we can never truly be erased by the Zionist project, because they've been trying and failing for a century. Right now, we're seeing the most devastating, unfathomable atrocities unfolding in Gaza, ones that we should never let leave our minds and ones that should move us towards revolution. But we can't undermine the strength of our resistance, which should also inspire us and move us towards revolution. I mean, before a few months ago, the Zionists wouldn't dare step foot in Gaza. All of their attacks were by air and sea. This was an unprecedented victory for our resistance, that they asserted themselves so firmly and unwaveringly that the occupation forces, backed by the mighty U.S. Imperial Empire, feared touching the ground of the Gaza Strip. The colonizer has always and will always use the most cowardly forms of attack, like placing a brutal siege onto a 25-mile strip of land, or pressing a button to bomb an entire residential block in the comfort of their own military base, or mass starvation, or genociding thousands of unarmed civilians to even gain the confidence to step foot on the land. These are all cowardly tactics they use, and they use them to try to establish some form of validity, because they know that they're scared to face the Palestinians. They're scared to face the guerrillas. I don't believe that liberation will come from only one strategy or one place. But I believe that, like Ghassan Kanafani said, imperialism has laid its body over the world, the head in Eastern Asia, the heart in the Middle East, its arteries reaching Africa and Latin America. Wherever you strike it, you damage it, and you serve the world revolution. That being said, I do believe still that our liberation will come from Palestinians resisting on the ground in Palestine, but we all need to put in our effort from every single angle. Whether you publicly support resistance or you don't, you will always be villainized as a Palestinian. So do the right thing and put a red triangle in your bio. But seriously, it's past the time to understand and to acknowledge that all colonized people have a right to violence against their oppressors. And as someone who is not physically in their place right now experiencing colonialism, you have a responsibility to support the resistance. And I say to support the resistance publicly. Mohammed Al-Kurd actually recently wrote an article I wanted to bring up called "Are We Indeed All Palestinians?" And I actually saw him speak about it as well on a panel at George Mason University, and I feel like it's very relevant right now. He talked about two things he's been hearing a lot at protests. One, in our millions, in our billions, we are all Palestinian. And two, we will honor all our martyrs. Mohammed discussed in the article, in relation to honoring our martyrs, is that just witnessing is not enough. Just witnessing what's happening in Gaza and seeing it on our phone screens and scrolling every single day, it's important, but it's not enough. To honor our martyrs is to support our resistance and to make sacrifices, because Gaza cannot be the only one sacrificing for our liberation. He says, "These days I am haunted by a subtler, though deadlier refrain, an unwanted realization. Gaza has the right to forsake us, to never forgive us, to spit in our faces. How many wars has it confronted? How many martyrs has it given? How many bodies were stolen from it, snatched from their father's embrace? And how many of us stutter when asked about resistance, or disavow our right to resist entirely, our need to resist? How many of us choose our careers over our kin? How many of us could have done something, anything, but did not? The rallying cry that we are all Palestinian must abandon the metaphor and manifest materially, meaning all of us, Palestinians or otherwise, must embody the Palestinian condition, the condition of resistance and refusal in the lives we lead and the company we keep. meaning we reject our complicity in this bloodshed and our inertia when confronted with all of that blood, because Gaza cannot stand alone in sacrifice. Follow Maryland to Palestine, MD number 2 Palestine on Instagram, Facebook. We also have a Twitter and a website, mdtopalestine.com.